Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival. We're here with the director and the actor of Hashtag Screamers, Dean Matthew Reynolds and Tom Malloy. Dean Matthew Reynolds, director, Tom Malloy, actor. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is it morning still?
So, you made a movie that is supposed to be another movie because it's not... It's a fiction movie, but it's as a shape of a fake documentary about this startup. How easy or not easy was it to shoot it as a documentary, even if it was not? Because everybody has to fake that it was real, but it wasn't real.
First off, I want to say Tom's also a co-writer and producer as well.
Okay, so it's your fault too.
Yes, yes.
Not only his.
You know, it's... Making any movie, there's just planning, lots of planning. So simple, we just planned as much as we could for everything, like any other film. You know, you make sure that, you know, you research what you're trying to do and you make it as much as that as possible. So I think it lent actually to probably, I mean, dare I say easy, because it's never easy, but I think it led to a more organic sort of feel of making a film, because we didn't necessarily have to stick to a script and we didn't necessarily have to stick to a shot list. There were definitely outlined moments that had to exist, and there was a very detailed outline and map, like any other film. But actually, I think because of the nature of the documentary style, it lent to a more organic, natural sort of feel to making it, so which was different. It's a different sort of way of making a movie.
And Tom, how did you prepare to act as a faking but existing person? Because it was. I mean, there was not a script. I mean, there was partially, but there were not like established shots or stuff. So it was more difficult or more fun? Or both?
I think it was definitely more fun. I was been a trained improv actor for years. It's something I love doing. I've been doing it since I was, 14 years old, mm-hmm. as far as improvising. Graduated from the I.O. West School in Los Angeles, comedy, improv, same place as Chris Farley, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. For me, it's super fun. But the key with this movie that Dean and I really wanted is not even one moment of, oh, come on, it's not real. I didn't want even one moment of that. So if there's something that was said that didn't feel real, we were prepared to cut and say, nah, it didn't. But there wasn't those moments. These actors, Chris Bannow and Griffin Matthews, Abby Snee, Manuela, she was, all these people were so good then with just... off of their head, they were so real. And lastly, I'll just say, when we auditioned the other people, we didn't have a script for them to read. We gave them 5 questions, and they had to come in and answer it as the character. Like a job interview.
Oh, okay, okay.
But, why would you decide to work for this company? And they'd answer it. And the best one was Chris, who is, my co-star in the movie. And he just kind of, he was so the character the second he walked in. So we really played ourselves, but kind of, exaggerated versions of ourselves, and that added to the realism.
So the plot is about this startup company of a website that publishes scary short movies supplied by people. This is it. And then something happens.
Viral videos.
Viral videos, yes. Something happens, and you get just slowly but continuously, you're falling into a nightmare.
Yeah.
This
Correct.
Is it. How did you come up with this idea, which is actually pretty intriguing?
So the idea, Tom originally came up with the initial idea, the startup company. It had a different angle, because we had actually planned on doing the movie years earlier. When he brought it to me, we just started fleshing out the idea of, this company and taking a time with developing it. I think the important thing was that we made it seem as much as like a documentary about the company as possible. So I think early on, the idea of making a making the audience think that they were watching a documentary was important for us, you know, making them feel like, obviously setting the tone that there was an ominous ending or that we were going down the rabbit hole that was not going to end well. So that was something, and the idea of taking, you know, trying to go back to what horror films, early cinema horror, which wasn't scary but the long anticipation and the long build. And it's interesting to see, you know, the reaction. I think people really are enjoying it, and it's encouraging because I really would like to see this sort of horror film come back to cinema.
We watched two films. Let me just say there's two films, one called Catfish and another called Big Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, the original, which was such a slow mental build.
Oh, yeah.
And Catfish was a movie that was a documentary, and there's debate if it's real or fake, but it wasn't a horror movie. So we thought directly, what if we took that and we made that into a horror movie? But go ahead.
I was saying that in the festival catalog, your quote, Alfred Hitchcock saying that a bang is not frightening, it's the anticipation of it that's frightening.
Anticipation. Yeah, I grew up loving Hitchcock. I mean, the funny thing is that you put a youngster or a millennial and you have them watch an Alfred Hitchcock movie and they're bored.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? They don't understand. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. Yeah. Those are the classics.
They need to be stimulated every 10 seconds.
I purposely, I got two kids, and I show them the older films, not just horror, but any films. And like, for example, The Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid, if you look, it's so much character development and build before the climax. And I feel like I've had an effect on them where they don't want bang, 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 bang. You know, and so I still believe... You know, I'd hate to group all millennials and say they can't, they want Avengers 2, you know, or Civil War. And I would love to say that if they see these movies, they're still damn good. Jaws is still incredible.
Oh, God. Oh, yes, it is.
From start to finish. And people will still love it. Yeah, yeah. And Psycho, that's another one. I just put that on the list of stuff to show them. But they will still love it and still follow it if it's good. If it's good.
Yeah, well, The Exorcist is one of the scariest movies ever, and it's still scary now.
Yeah, it's still scary.
After like 30 years.
And it's funny because, you know, if someone watches the movie and they're like, well, that was so boring and slow. Why did you take so long? And it's like, oh, you got it.
That's exactly right.
How did you get to that specific plot? I mean, the building up the plot of this girl that was that's disappeared that reappears. Did you read stuff around on the internet or find?
So when we got into, I think you know, when Tom and I started working on sort of updating the story, we shot in Rochester, New York, upstate New York, and I started researching. Again, I wanted to make it as real as possible. We wanted to make it seem like it was for real. So as many elements of that as we could obviously makes it more believable. Even keeping it with the names of the actors were their real names. So we started researching Rochester history, and we saw that the real burial site for the best known suspect for Jack the Ripper actually is in Rochester, New York.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And all of that part of
That's a good experience, actually.
It's all real.
Real. That's his actual grave. You know, I, funny enough, had been a, kind of a Jack the Ripper fan of reading the history and trying to decipher it. And I did. That guy flew under my radar. And how wacky was it when I don't know who, because I wouldn't want to take credit for being the one that discovered it, but somebody was like, you know, this was his grave. And so we actually... I mean, I feel like he's the closest suspect. And I'd also have to like to add that there was a Rochester internet company that at one point was the YouTube. It was called E-Bombs World. And it was the first real viral video site. And my friend, is a guy named Eric Bauman, created that site. He served as a creative consultant on this movie.
Yeah,
Giggler.com is, without question, an E-Bombs World, which he sold, and it's done. But it was, now there's Break.com, there's YouTube, there's all these, but that was the first.
It was the first. Yeah, E-Bomb was the first. So when we were rehearsing, we brought him in so that everybody could make sure they spoke the language of the company.
Yeah.
So.
But
keeping it as real as possible, I couldn't believe that. I started looking up ghost stories and hauntings, or what could we again add and inject into the plot that really could feed it. And we discovered that this gravesite was there, it seemed like perfect. So,
Was it any specific movie or director that was visually inspiring you?
Well, I think hindsight a little bit. David Lynch. I think there is sort of like Lost Highway. There's some elements of the once we get towards the more ominous sort of visual storytelling that seems to be sort of a similarity as I've noticed in some of the shots to some of that movie. And I'm a big fan of David Lynch. I don't think it was at the time something that I was maybe thinking about and saying like
unconsciously.
I just wanted to make sure that we told the story the best way with the right tone, and it was the best time of year too, with all this snow and the overcast and the haze and it everything fit perfectly for the story we were telling.
And all this was like to say is that so many movies these days, because the camera quality is nicer and nicer, there's a strange paradox occurring that the nicer quality camera, the faker it looks. It's that something high resolution works for nature documentaries.
I totally agree, but
movies, it makes it look like it's not real. So I sought out specifically this camera called the Digital Bolex that was the first digital camera made that looked like 70s film. And I wanted that look, and I insisted that we use this, and I got it for free. I threw my resume around, whatever, got it for free. But thankfully, we were on the same page with that. But that was so cool for us. Unfortunately, the camera's gone out of business. But so I feel like we're one of the only films ever shot in the damn camera. But it's
That there was actually conscious thought that Tobe Hooper, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, sort of style, that sort of that was a conscious thought.
Especially in the last part of the film.
That was a conscious thought, and also obviously as far as storytelling, Hitchcock was a huge, I just grew up with everything Hitchcock for me. And so that was extremely important for the storytelling. And you know, again, it was a deliberate thing that we take so much time to get to.
To the climax.
It's important. It's important. It's a necessity. And it's a necessity that's lost in cinema and filmmaking, in American filmmaking. Yeah. You know, it has to come at you. Boom, boom, fast. Or people are afraid of it.
Well, let's hope this new fashion that you throw out in the world will continue.
This new old, whatever.
So thanks a lot to Dean Matthew Ronalds and Tom Malloy from the film #Screamers here at the Torino Film Festival. I'm Gio Acerbi, Fred Radio, the Festival Insider.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.